Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
If you want to ask some questions at the end, you've got to go on the app and send them in, and we'll leave some time. But yeah, thanks so much for coming here today. It's going to be super fun. We're gonna cover off the topic that we at Kaira say is the holy grail of influencer marketing. It is the strategy that is delivering the best performance. It's lowering cost for brands. It's maximizing authenticity of creator partnerships. And yeah, we're seeing that kind of what I'm referring to, obviously, is always on creator marketing, running creator campaigns consistently, and utilizing that content on social. We are Kaira. I'm Dev. I'm the co-founder. We are a influencer marketing platform. We connect brands and creators at scale. And I have three incredible guests with me on the panel today that are going to help me get through this conversation topic. But I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. Perhaps just your role, where you're working, and obviously your name.
Yeah. Hi, folks. I'm Dan. Thank you very much for coming out to listen to us all. I am the chief customer at ASOS. Hopefully, most of you are familiar with ASOS, but we're an international fashion brand.
Joker. I'm Caroline Hirons. I'm a beauty industry expert, founder of a skincare brand called Skin Rocks, and an influencer.
I'm Megan Kirkpatrick, and I'm over brand and communications and community at Pixar.
$50 billion is going to get spent with influencers on social every single year. Obviously, that's an incredible amount of investment. It's becoming a single line item on a marketing plan. But definitely when I speak to marketing leaders, they still see creators as perhaps amplifying individual kind of ad campaigns that they're already running out of home, etc., on TV. Or perhaps maybe activating a single kind of cultural moment, one-off creator campaign, maybe something around like the Super Bowl. But actually what we see at Kaira in performing consistently better and actually allowing more engagement is working with creators on an always on basis. Caroline, obviously, you are an OG content creator, now founder, brand owner. What do you think the hurdles are for brands and marketers to work with creators on an always on basis?
Treating them like a commodity and not a person. So talking in terms of finance and just talking to them like an asset that you're paying for, as opposed to a person that you want to have a relationship with. So, I mean, some of the non-relationships I've had with brands have been because they were using an agency. And so it would be brand would tell the agency would tell my agent, the agent would tell to me. So by the time it gets to me, if I already know the brand, I'm going to call them and just be like, do you mind if we do it this way? But the barriers are not having, there's a few, but it's not seeing the person and not allowing for some elasticity in like how things are delivered, things like that. You know, and I'm sure there'll be people who think, well, it's okay for you to say that. But I didn't start with the amount of the following I've got, you know, and I've always been like this. I don't do scripts. there has to be an ebb and flow. And if you're only interested in just, you know, it'd be lovely. I mean, I've turned down some big bucks. But if all they do is come in and go, so we need you to do this, this and this on this date, this time, I'm like, there's no value in that to my follower, reader, consumer, viewer. So really, it's, I think, the first thing that puts people's backs up is when you come at them with just paperwork and, you know, and there's no relationship.
At Skinrocks, are you engaging creators always on and long term?
Yeah, well, I mean, we tried doing sponsored work with creators last year and it didn't work as well. Partly because my own team were giving people a script and I didn't find out until soon. I was like, And then ultimately we realized that a lot of the people who follow us want my face. So we now work on a much more organic basis. We have relationships with people and they get things first. But there's absolutely no expectation.
So more of a seeding relationship.
Yeah, more of a seeding. And a, you know, if they want to do something, we can. If they need help, I'm always there to sort of, I am almost like a mentor type relationship as well. You know, I'll be like, you can get way more than that. You know, so yeah, we certainly work with a lot. We have a large send out list, but I don't actively engage financially unless it's like a big launch.
Nice. Dan, you took over ASOS a year ago. I know you worked in tech and you worked in retail and supermarkets before that. Have you seen there to be different hurdles in executing a creator program in fashion versus those other industries?
No, I think different brands are on a different point on the same spectrum. So I think between what Caroline said and what you said, that perfectly encapsulates the challenge for brand leaders for me, which is on the one hand, you've got impact and performance. And then on the other hand, you've got the fact that creators are people. And trying to manage them just as assets, as you said, Caroline, is not appropriate. So, yeah, I think there is a difference. And I think the brands that I've worked with that try to only focus on performance generally get it wrong. Mm. But on the other hand, the kind of the creator industry cannot just be run on vibes. So for a brand, there has to be some level of impact in it. What we're doing at ASOS is, you know, when I joined, there was no team. There wasn't even any tech. And the original suggestion was, well, if we just bring in an influencer management platform and some tech, we'll be able to do this kind of on an automated basis and we'll be able to take that approach. And I'm completely with you. We treat our creator program like our CRM program. We treat our creators as customers. Mm. And, you know, they have individual reps. We don't get it right every time. We're still building it out. Mm. But for me, that is certainly the best way to start. We're a global brand. It may not scale over time, but that's how we're going to get on.
Megan, I know that we've done some really great work together. I know you're focused on B2B creators rather than fashion and beauty, which will obviously be more B2C. Do you see there being a difference in the relationship and working with B2B creators rather than B2C?
Not so much a difference in the relationship. I think, you know, we work on a spectrum too. We have quite a range of customers we're trying to reach, whether it's consumers or businesses. I think when we're dealing with influencers in particular, we're trying to find the influencers who are the best suited for the objective that we have and who we can give that creative freedom to, because I'm a huge believer in that. I think you don't pay a painter to paint you something and watch every stroke. You give them an objective and you say, paint me a picture with blue in it. And that's how you get the best outcome from them. So whether it's B2B or B2C, we always try to go in with that flexibility. And I would also say that we measure it very qualitatively. It's definitely not about how many impressions did that one piece get. It's about, you know, what was the impact of that? How was it powerful? Did it have the right sentiment? Did it move the right audience? Did it, you know, achieve our goals of promoting that one specific product? And we leave the rest up to the,
to the influencer. At the moment, we're seeing a lot of content creators and influencers get cancelled on social. Right now, there's a whole movement going on. Caroline, how do you feel about creators and brands working long-term, but there's a paid relationship in there, is it possible for that relationship to feel authentic? Or do you think the audience is so attuned to advertising that they'll call that out? And do you think it can work?
Yeah, for sure. But I think the audience has to trust the creator that they wouldn't bring something to the table that they wouldn't like. So if there's a trust relationship there, which I absolutely have with my following, then you're okay. If it's someone who does, you know, it's the same as anything. If it's someone who does a different ad for a different moisturizer every week, for example, and says that's the best thing I've ever used every week, it's not going to grow and it's not going to be taken seriously. So I think you can absolutely have a long-term paying relationship. It's just as long as both sides are open about, you know, it was kind of like you said, I said this earlier, you don't get someone around to fix your roof and then tell them how to do it. You know, so it's, you can go to them with like, we would love it if you could cover, you know, if I get a list of 10 things, I say, give me three. Give me your top three. I'll hit those. Anything else is a bonus. And then, you know, in the early days, they would be like, well, no, it's really important. I went, no one is going to sit and listen to someone yapping on and getting 10 points across. You know, give me three. I'll make it fun. And then we'll, you know, go from there. And so I think as long as the A word, the authenticity is there, then yeah, for sure.
I think what I'm gathering from all three of you is a definite shift in the way that you brief creators now. Before, it was very much script and, you know, number of different, like even storyboards. What do you now send out to creators? Is it more of a overarching kind of feeling and like example videos and stuff like that? Dan?
Honestly, there's variation.
Yeah.
So I won't pretend that there aren't occasions where we're quite prescriptive with creators. In general, that doesn't work as well. But you use the word authenticity. It's much used. It does happen to be one of ASOS's brand values. What we tend to do now is we just describe the brand kind of story that we're on, the brand journey that we're on. We are going through a turnaround at ASOS in terms of, you know, telling the consumer the story of the ASOS brand. And if you let good creators know that journey, they'll either say, hey, I'm not up for it, or actually, I've got a great way to do that. So that's generally how we approach things.
Nice. I think I'm sure there's been loads of talks about AI and its role in marketing. I saw with Pixar, there's some great AI innovations that you're making on the product. Do you feel there's a role for AI in creating content and, you know, building these longer term relationships, getting content out the door quicker? Megan?
It's my favorite question. Yes, I think that something that's not talked about enough is that the demand for innovation in AI has come from this always-on content world that we live in. I think it is an incredible tool for the constant demands that we have to, especially as marketers, to be everywhere and to be personalized and to be customized and to be relevant and to be an email on Twitter and on LinkedIn and Facebook. And I think these tools are continuing to get better and better so that we can produce more. It's also changing the demands on marketers for how they set parameters around their brand, how flexible you are with your brand, where do you want to show up and how do you protect your brand in that sort of iterative environment. I think these are all things that we're working through. But yes, I think that's why it's here, because of the demand.
Yeah. Caroline, how do you feel about...
Hate it. It's still blogging. I'm literally tomorrow, I'm archiving my blog, which is 14 years of SEO.
Wow.
It's 180 million page views. And I'm moving it to SkinRocks, so it will live there in the body of SkinRocks. And then I'll have a separate sort of homepage for me and about me and blah, blah, blah. Because my content just gets scraped.
Yeah.
So it all goes in the app now. We've got a SkinRocks app. So it all goes in the app, which is like a black box. And we don't use any AI at SkinRocks. It's still just me. So I have like a team, but there's still, I get people all the time messaging saying, I don't even have an auto response on my, you know, Instagram. So when I reply, people will go, oh, hi, Caroline's team. Could you please ask? And I'm like, it's me. And they're like, there's no way you're working on a Saturday afternoon and I'll send a picture of me in my Liverpool top. Like, so yeah, Liverpool, sorry, I know. I think maybe I'm too old. My son, I've got a lot of kids, but my 19-year-old is the sort of gaming pothead, you know. You've all been there. I haven't, but anyway. And he's who I talk to if I need to have that conversation.
Yeah, nice.
He'd be like, Mum, you could do this and do this and do this. And I'm like, come and do it then,
son. Dan, do you think you'd ever work with an AI creator?
Would we ever work with an AI creator? I'm not going to say we'd never work with an AI creator. Mm. As I said before, we're somewhat rebuilding the creator program from scratch. Mm. And I think for us, a huge part, we don't have physical stores, right? So we don't have that point of presence with consumers where you can have an interaction with a human and talk about your product. Mm. You can't touch and feel our product unless you buy it. And so to some degree, the creator program is about bringing that human voice into the relationship with the customer. That's one of the big advantages for us. If I thought that was an AI voice, it wouldn't have the same impact. Mm-mm. It doesn't mean that there isn't huge value in the use of particularly like deep machine learning and creative optimizations for other parts of our marketing program. But I think when it comes to creators, it's about the human at the moment. Mm.
Do you feel it's tough? Like the platforms are moving so fast, there's so many trends there. You mix that with having to create content on such a consistent basis every week. And then the fast moving nature of fashion. Those three things combined, how do you make sure you land things?
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's saying, when do you sleep?
Well, I sleep excellently. But I think the advantage for us, and this maybe isn't the perfect answer to your question, the advantage for us is we're a platform at significant scale. And therefore, we have a huge amount of data about what customers are looking for, either fulfilled demand or unfulfilled demand. And we make good use of that. You asked about the briefing process before. And we know what customers are talking about. We know what they want. And we use that data. I see some friends here from everyone's favorite Singaporean entertainment platform. And, you know, they have a huge amount of data as well. And so we tend to, you know, I'm not going to go into every tool because, you know, I'll bore you silly. But we make use of our own data. We make use of other platforms' data. And we talk to smart people as well. We talk to our creators. It's not just one way.
Caroline, you said that you maybe don't use external agencies or platforms. How do you then nurture these kind of longer term relationships with creators? You know, if you're trying to do thousands maybe or hundreds, maybe we don't do it at that level.
But we're not at the thousand scale. Give us a chance. We just engage with them personally. My comms and PR team do it in-house. So I know most of them. And the ones that I don't know, because obviously I can't keep up with everyone. Like you say, I'm an OG. Thanks for that. That means old gran. So my team will bring people to me and go, we want to work with this person. Look how wicked they are, and da 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 da. So I'm led by them. You know, the main thing you have to do in my situation is hire people who are better than you at certain things. And, you know, TikTok is not my platform. My daughter is the TikTok person in our family. She's on like 700,000 followers. It's mental. So I get posts sent to me for her. That's humbling. But she would be someone I would ask if I wanted to know about TikTok. So I think you just have to, I don't know. I feel like it's all, as long as you approach each person and each platform differently, then you're at least the foundation, you're onto a winner.
This is like a question for everyone. Maybe start with Megan. If you're looking at creator marketing, you're looking at these long-term partnerships, are there particular metrics or KPIs that indicate success and indicate that you want to work with that creator again?
Yeah, engagement rate is huge. And I think the we look at reach and things like that, but engagement rate and sentiment are really, really important. And we always look at creators as a long-term. I don't want one-offs because that's just not scalable. A relationship is more impactful and more scalable.
Similar?
Yeah, engagement over followers for sure.
We're slightly different. So a huge part of the program that we're building is kind of this non-contingent seeding program. That's, you know, we're very fortunate. Our products come obviously at a much lower cost to us than simply, you know, paying a creator to create content. So we do a lot of seeding, a lot of gifting. The one that I obsess about is acceptance rate, because if the creators aren't accepting the gifts,
yeah, that's a good one.
Like, you know, that's a bit of a red flag. I'd love someone to create a creator NPS score. like some kind of creator CSAT score, like what's it like to actually work with this brand? That would be one. And then from an impact perspective, we use earned media value, not because it's perfect, but because it's a good proxy for share of voice. We use potency per post. We use frequency as another good example of how engaged that creator is.
How are you tracking whether people that you seed are actually posting or integrating the products into their content?
We generally use things like Tribe, things like that. And I get tagged in everything, which is helpful. but yeah, generally it's, you know, we'll use something like a Tribe that will throw up, like you say, an EMV. Do you find it's more, I'm interested in what you guys think is more popular in terms of like what platform and what bit. So like Stories, Grid, TikTok, where do you see the most benefit? Sorry, but you know.
Yeah.
Panelist turn moderator.
It's a good question. I think TikTok is so fast that and so fleeting. It's something you kind of have to do as a brand, but to me as a brand marketer, I find Stories probably more impactful and more just higher quality. But it really depends on the product that we're pushing. LinkedIn is a different kind of a post, you know. It's much more thought leadership driven.
Our target customer is in their young 20s and they're a fashion lover. So TikTok for us, you know, you're right. It's like, I worked at Google for a while and we used to talk about is YouTube high gloss or low gloss? You know, and I still think that's a question to be answered. But, you know, TikTok can be low gloss at time. It can have very low production values, but it is authentic because of that. And it is bang on for our audience. Mm-hmm. So actually, in terms of EMV, we still generate far more EMV through Instagram. We probably generate far more EMV through Stories on Instagram than we do on TikTok.
Stories are huge.
Yes,
massively underrated.
But TikTok is growing much faster, and many of our best creators are on that.
TikTok's the most powerful algorithm that's ever been created, right? Do you see similar types of content doing well on TikTok and doing well on Reels, or is it just completely different across the board?
For us, they're similar. They're similar. My Stories are my biggest channel. I've got we did the stats the other day, I've got like a 95% finish rate on Stories.
And then being able to put links and drive people.
And that's because I tend to like rant, and then there'll be like a sponsored post, and then there'll be a repost of something funny and a kitten. And, you know, so people will sit and watch all the way through. And so I'll throw up a couple of sponsored, you know, posts in the middle of that, and that will get the traffic. So Stories are much, everyone wants the grid, you know, but that's a bit to me, that's a bit like only wanting to be in the shop window and you're not actually in the shop. Mm-hmm. No one looks at the grid unless you share the grid to your Stories. It's completely changed.
We actually have loads of questions. Dan, you're popping up quite a few times there. What makes a good fashion creator in your opinion, and how do they keep the content fresh and varied and original?
A trite answer to a complex question is that what makes a good creator is exactly what Caroline said. And this is really a better question for Caroline, I think, because, you know, what makes a good creator is someone who knows their audience and only really does things that are good for their audience and engaging for their audience. You know, we pretty quickly work out which creators are taking a buck, but not really in love with the brand. And I don't expect every creator to be in love with the ASOS brand, but the very best are the ones that actually really have an affinity with it. And this is why for us, acceptance rate of our seeding program is so important, because we haven't done seeding for, I don't know, Simon, you might know better than me, but for many years at ASOS. And our acceptance rate is phenomenal, which is a great signal that the creators that we're outreaching to really love the brand. So, like I say, maybe a superficial answer, but that's the big one for me.
From a beauty perspective, similar?
Not being too dictatorial about the content you want. You know, if everyone does the same thing and says the same thing with the same background, it's like being back in the world of blogging back in the day when everything was on pink marble and a flat lay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how old I am. So I think you have to let people exactly that. You know, if people come to us with a proposal and it doesn't sit with me, it's not going to sit with my readership. So then I'll go back and say, well, if you let me do it this way, and it's when you get pushback that say, no, it has to be like this. Then I'm just like, okay, I'm checked out. No, thank you. So you have to let them be what, the, you know, you go to a creator for a reason. You go because you either love their content or they've got massive engagement. So let them do their thing.
Mm. I like this one. We've obviously talked about authenticity being important. When you're working with creators on a smaller scale, obviously you need to get the reach, you need to get performance. How do you scale that if you're working with micros and smaller creators? Megan?
If you make good content, it will scale. So I would say focus on the authenticity and making good content with the people you're working with. And we have done that. We've actually had great success working with more micro influencers and just making something good. On TikTok, it will spread and it will get the eyes that you need if you're making something good and real.
The micro influencers make better content than my team do.
Yeah. 100%.
Bastards.
Some of our best creators are ASOS Insiders.
Yeah.
ASOS Insiders is a group of ASOSers who, none of whom have more than a few thousand followers.
They all just staff or?
This is staff at ASOS, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are just passionate about the brand. It gives you a peek behind the curtain. We, you know, if they turn into mega stars as a result of the work they're doing, that's fantastic and good for them. But it's hugely authentic because they're in the building.
Are they hired as content creators?
They all have a job.
Oh, okay.
They all have a job. And it's something they've expressed an interest in. And so there are perks that come along with that. But no, they all have a job at ASOS outside of that.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left. Maybe we could each kind of say one thing that you want to tell the room about working with creators. One takeaway. Dan?
Oh. One takeaway. Okay, so I speak from a brand perspective. Make sure you've nailed business alignment and impact and measurement before you start doing all the vibesy stuff. Otherwise, going backwards.
Vibesy.
Please talk to anyone about that.
Vibesy stuff. Do you want to go?
No, you go.
I mean, I could sit here all day. I would say let them do their thing. Don't give them a script. Let them do their thing. Trust them to do their thing. Have a relationship. And the main thing is don't treat them like a commodity. Mm. Treat them like you're someone who's a friend. So if you're on their stories and you see it's their birthday, send them a bunch of flowers or send them a delivery voucher if they just had a baby. Like, think on about things that make them go, oh, I'm doing an empties or I'm doing a whatever. I'm going to put something in because they were nice to me. That is literally how it works. You have to think about it. If you're going to have a dinner party, you're not going to invite someone who's pissed you off. You're going to think, oh, they were lovely. They were lovely to me the other week. We must make sure they come.
I'll add, because I agree with both of your ideas here. I would say continue to defend inside your organization the right to have this creative interpretation, because that can get really difficult. That when the CEO or somebody wants you to have a specific message in a piece of content or the logo be a certain size, like, keep fighting for what you know makes good content.
That's key.
What she said. Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't, you know, I would say if they don't work on the shop floor, they don't know what it's like to work a till, don't let them on the shop floor.
Yeah.
You know, they're hiring you for a reason. So if you know what works and you know that this creator does something that might be slightly off kilter, but it works, and you've got, no offense, mainly a boardroom full of middle-aged white men saying, oh, we think this works, then say, oh, go on, then you go and do that, Brian. See you later.
Yeah.
Sorry if anyone's called Brian.
Yeah. That's all we have time for, but thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.